So if you have a Bible, please do open to John chapter 4. It's page 1066. I'll just say before Sam, thank you Sam for reading, reads, he's going to read to verse 26. So it's chapter 4, 1 to 26, page 1066 in the church Bibles. But we're actually in the message, the plan is to stop at 18, verse 18. But he's going to read to 26. Come back again next week for episode 2. Thanks.
John chapter 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judah and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman asked, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
Thanks, Sam. We are a thirsty people. We humans have this innate longing for so many things, don't we? Not least world peace. So psychologists reckon that we're on this kind of constant cycle of searching and discovering. They talk about a deep desire in us for understanding, for meaning, finding our place, because most people feel incomplete. Most people feel unsatisfied. So the search is in earnest, isn't it? For love, happiness, purpose, peace, acceptance. There's this quest to have fulfillment and find it. Just think for a moment of your own longings. In all honesty, and just in your mind, in the quiet daydream moments, what do you really want? What do you really long for? What's your greatest longing, just in your mind? It's a revealing question, isn't it? We've got a dog at home. She seems pretty content most of the time. She might not be letting on, but I genuinely think she just needs a little bit of love, food, and go for walks. I mean, she gets thirsty at times, physically, of course, but it's us, isn't it, that have this thirst, this longing issue. So, of course, some of us will travel the world to scratch the itch. We'll seek promotions at work. We'll try and get a big bank balance. We'll hop about in jobs. We'll hop about in relationships. We'll bury ourselves in work. We'll bury ourselves online in some way. We explore loads of avenues, don't we, to find satisfaction. Even if we're kind of stay-at-home plodders, this longing is in us all. Please have the passage open. It'd be great if you could follow along as we look at this together. And I wonder, first of all, what you thought of Jesus, or what stood out about him from this passage. What strikes you about him? Perhaps it's his inclusivity. Samaria was a place Jews avoided. So we see this in verse 9. The woman is shocked, isn't she, that Jesus is speaking to her. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We don't associate. Jesus does, which we see throughout the Gospels. And it's just wonderful, isn't it? He speaks to anyone and everyone. So chapter 3 we had recently, it's Nicodemus. He's this kind of devout, you know, religious, respected man coming to see him at nighttime. Now, chapter 4, we have this Samaritan woman. Well, she's deviant in the society. She's despised. She's rejected. She's coming to see him at noon. We all lean towards certain people, don't we? And we kind of lean away from others. But with Jesus, there's no too good. There's no too bad. There's no where you're morally acceptable, where you're morally unacceptable, detestable. It doesn't matter. It's so inclusive, isn't he? I wonder if verse 18 stood out to you. What Jesus said. The fact that he knew things about this woman that he hadn't been told. Well, she couldn't believe he knew. Surprising, isn't it? Scary. Jesus knows all people. He knows us as well. Maybe it's the kind of gender divide smasher, if you like. So you've got a Jewish rabbi and a foreign lady. You know, that itself could and should kind of made this a conversation a non-starter, to be honest. The disciples were certainly surprised. You can see in verse 27, slightly outside the bit we read, they were surprised into silence by this, that Jesus was talking with her. That Jesus just sees through all the barriers, just punches through, doesn't he, to this precious person who has a misguided thirst. She's got a kind of lopsided longing, hasn't she? Her need of living water is great. So it starts, doesn't it, this conversation with a request for a drink. He's traveling, it's a hot country. Disciples have popped to the local co-op, and along comes this woman. She's alone. Well, that's not particularly safe for her. It's at noon. That's the hot bit of the day. But there's a reason, isn't there? And Jesus asks her for a drink. She knows he's a Jew. Clothes, maybe. Accent. We'd spot a northerner, wouldn't we? Amongst us. However, she knew. She knew, and she knew this was dodgy ground as well. But verse 10, Jesus just steers the conversation away from any kind of ethnic feuds, saying, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, me, and he would have given you living water. And of course, understandably, she's a bit confused, isn't she? She's like, you're offering me a drink now. I thought you were asking for a drink. And you haven't got a bucket. And what are you going to do to dig and find this spring you're talking about? Are you greater than Jacob? All these things going on in her head. It's a confused start, isn't it, on her part, of course. because she doesn't know who she's speaking to, nor what living water means. So who is she speaking to? Well, just look back, if you would, to chapter 3, verse 31. See at the top of the page in the church Bibles there. The one who comes from above is above all. Jesus. And the same verse at the end says, above all. This is who she's speaking to, the one from heaven. Verse 34, the one from God, who speaks the words of God. Verse 35, the Son the Father loves and has therefore placed all things in his hands. This is the head-hurting mystery of Christmas, isn't it? God becomes man. So you have Jesus who's both thirsty, physically thirsty, but also he is the fountain of living water. Incredible. Maybe you can imagine Jesus pointing at the well. You'll drink this water, you will be thirsty again. Okay, we get that bit. But there is another water. It's the water I give, which when you receive it means you will never be thirsty again. So books, films have kind of copied and stolen this idea in various ways. The elixir of life, that kind of thing. The fountain of youth, the cup of eternal youth, Indiana Jones, isn't it, I think. Except no imitations. Only Jesus brings true water, the real thing, which he says becomes a spring inside a person, a spring of life that never runs out. And this mind-boggling truth is huge. It really is. It's talking of an inner life, inner person. It's the life of God, which, like satisfying water to the body, is true life to the soul, bringing all that we search for, you know, like the meaning, purpose, all the things we chase after, peace, and of course, life in abundance. So Jesus is saying really big stuff to this lady, verses 13 and 14, about soul-satisfying, heart-quenching presence of God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in a person. How do we know Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity? Well, the Bible is its own interpreter. So there were written verses hundreds of years before about Jesus and the arrival of Jesus. Speaking of a day, this is in Joel chapter 2, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Well, of course, pour is the language of water, spirit and water together there. Psalm 36 talks of the one who is the fountain of life. Prophet Ezekiel sees a day. He writes, when a river flows from God's temple, flooding the land, bringing life. And there are many water references. If you want to turn over to chapter 3, verse 5, we had this recently. Chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. So the picture of water is a picture of the Spirit. That's what's going on. And Jesus is the one who has the Spirit without limits. And he's saying to this lady, I can pour the very life of God into you. You who ask can receive this living water, and it will become a spring welling up into eternal life. So he's talking of salvation. He's talking of forgiveness of sins, receiving Jesus, and therefore receiving satisfaction, life in abundance, peace, direction, purpose, hope, joy, heaven. All these amazing things that comes when we receive Christ into our lives. And we rush about and we search and we're online looking all the time, aren't we, for so much. We look out for things, don't we? things outside of us. We look to clothes and appearances. We look to relationships. We look to career. All these things we think are going to complete us and bring us what we really need. Jesus says, I can put true life inside you. You're chasing these things outside. I can put it right in here, inside you. If only she knew who asks. If only we knew who asks. The thirsty man who is actually the fountain of eternal life. That's who Christ is. Why don't we come to Jesus? Why doesn't this town come to Christ? Why doesn't one run to him to receive this water? Well, of course, many don't know who Jesus is, do they? But also, and it's in chapter 3, verse 20, I read the verse before it earlier, chapter 3, verse 20, we won't come to the light for fear, end of verse 20, of our deeds being exposed. And this is what we see here. This lady firstly has something which she needs to forsake before she can receive from Christ. There's something that needs exposing before she receives the life of God. She needs to turn from the kind of wells that she is drinking from. She needs to call off the search, the hunt that she is on, for all that she thinks fulfills her, but clearly has left her unsatisfied. So verse 15, you can see she's longing. She says, yes, give me this water, so I don't have to keep coming back here with this bucket. And of course, we'd say the same, wouldn't we, if this offer was given to us? But there's something that needs addressing first, and it's what she's chasing. What water is she trying to live on? She's trying to live on the water of men, to be honest. So this woman likes to be liked. I mean, who doesn't like to be liked? Absolutely. But she's bought into the idea that if she can be adored, admired, fancied by men, physical men, she'll be complete. That's her thinking, isn't it? Which is why Jesus says, verse 16, go get your husband. And the conversation, imagine being there, kind of takes a turn, doesn't it? I have no husband. Correct. You've had five, and the current one is not your husband's. It's like, whoa, awkward silence. Jesus, what are you doing? It was a pretty nice, polite conversation, going pretty well. It's not very British, is it, to steer in a conversation into politics or personal things, which isn't Britain, is it? But it's suddenly getting really edgy. Jesus gets really personal. He gets straight to the big wound, doesn't he? Because he is a surgeon who, before surgery is given, must first diagnose the problem. Now, we know, of course, why this woman is coming to the well on her own and at noon. It's to avoid the stares and the whispers. Again, imagine her in that moment. Her mind must have been racing. She acknowledges he's a prophet. She's like, oof. How do you know that? You must be a prophet. But perhaps she felt like running. He knows me. Absolutely knows me. What do I do? Mind perhaps running through possibilities. And she does what many of us are experts at doing as well, which is to change the subject. So verse 20, let's talk about worship. She gets onto, and we'll do this next week. But let's stay on the wound this week. So we're stopping at verse 18. Because we too like to steer away from the painful things that only Jesus knows about us, don't we? The things we do, the things we chase, the things we long for, the things we run after in our search for satisfaction. He knows you. He knows me. He knows the dead ends that you're running down right now. The things that you're chasing after that you think will complete you. In her thirst for meaning and happiness, she looks to relationships, the approval of men. That was her thing. Possibly also true for some of us here. But let's ask again a diagnostic question. If Jesus said, or rather if we said like she did, Jesus, give me this water, what might he say back to us? Go get your husband. Or go get your computer. Let's have a look at your spending. Go get your diet and exercise plan. What would Jesus put his finger on in our lives that we're putting first above him, that we're chasing after, that needs exposing? What is it we need to forsake? Maybe it is the love and the hold on our bank balance. Maybe it is clothing and on our appearance. Maybe it is sex and the desire for it. Or looks. What would Jesus say? Let's have a look at your Facebook page. Let's have a look at your deleted history. What would he say to us? Humans, we are on this constant cycle, aren't we, of searching and discovering. So we get digging wells in different places, but we often dig in the wrong places, and it leaves us more restless. It leaves us more unhappy. Because we're made for more, aren't we? We're made for God. We're made by him for his worship. We're not made by God to worship the things he made. Does that make sense? It's mad, isn't it? No, we're made to worship the maker. So there's a really troubling bit, but it's a really strong, helpful picture, I find, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, where God looks down on his people, Israel, in dismay, because they've left him. They've abandoned him. And God says, you've abandoned me, the spring of living water. There's the language. And instead, look what you're doing. You're digging over here somewhere, your own wells, your own cisterns is the word used, broken ones, and you're drinking over there and you're dying. What are you doing, says God? Why are you digging over there? Why are you searching there? You won't find life. So instead, again in the Old Testament in a number of ways, but very clearly in Isaiah 55, God says through the prophet, come to me. All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And then God sends his son. And if you're up for it, just flick over to chapter 7, verse 37. I would recommend looking at this one. Verse 37 of chapter 7 in John. And Christ comes and he says this. John 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. It's the spring thing again, isn't it? By this, verse 39, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Here's the question. Do we hear his voice? And I don't mean with your ears. I assume we all just heard that with our ears. Do we hear with our hearts? Are you thirsty? Or who isn't? Is it time to call off the search? Do you know what to do? Come to Jesus. Ask for the living water he gives. Come today for the first time. If you never come to Christ, and you know you're chasing this, that, and the other, come to Christ. Come today, maybe for the thousandth time. Come, all you, Jesus says, who are weary, you're worn out from looking in the wrong places in life. You're exhausted. And you know you're barking up the wrong tree. Come, all you who are ashamed. It might not be six husbands, but what other idol is it that you're chasing? What warren are you running down? And me too. Come, all you who are frustrated, you who are confused. Come, you thirsty people, come to me, says Christ, and find rest for your soul. Find forgiveness, find completeness, find eternal satisfaction in Christ. And the cost is nothing. You don't need to be somebody. In fact, quite the opposite. You don't have to have the right look. How wonderful. You don't have to have the right words. Well, that's great. I never know what to say. Just come to Christ. Thirsty as you are, asking for living water. You who know nothing about the Bible. It doesn't matter. You need to know who it is and how to be saved from your sin. Come to Jesus who has living water. Or you who know loads about the Bible, but you've begun digging elsewhere and you know it. Come back. Come to Christ. A command Jesus gives more than any other, I think it's kind of equal with prayer really, but a command he gives so much is ask. Ask. Why don't you ask? Ask because first it's not about what we can give God. The gospel is what we need to get from God, isn't it? And if we know the gift Jesus is to the world, if we know what Jesus gives, then we wouldn't ask for a cup of water. We wouldn't even ask for a bathtub of water or even a swimming pool. We'd ask for oceans, wouldn't we? Remember Peter, don't just wash my feet, wash me, all of me. Jesus, I need you all over me. Every part. Jesus, flow through me like a reservoir of living water that I'll never be unsatisfied again. Why don't we ask? Many don't ask because, like this woman, we don't know who Jesus is, what he gives. Not asking is a sign of unbelief. Because if we know the gift of God, who Jesus is, what he gives, we would ask. And we would ask, and we would ask, and we would ask. Let me recommend learning a Bible verse and recommending one every week. One, write on a bit of paper. Chapter 4, verse 14. Put it on your fridge or by your bed and learn it this week. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling to eternal life. Well, who doesn't want the life of God growing, leading us to glory? Why not learn that verse this week? Before we sing, let's just be quiet together to pray. I'm going to give some silence again for you to just respond to God's word to us. And if you've never asked for Jesus for living water, you can do that in the quiet now. If you can, I recommend you do it. Don't leave it to tomorrow. Jesus came to bring us to God that we might be born again, that we might be filled with a life in abundance. So just take a moment of quiet. Father, we pray you'd show us the things that we chase after, that we seek for satisfaction in this world. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to chase and ask Christ. Lord, we pray that we would forsake the idols and the wells that we've dug in our quest for completeness and happiness. And we would come to Christ and we would know who he is and we would ask. So Lord, expose in us as only you can and need to do the things, Lord, that we are chasing and we ought not. And we pray that your life would fill us that your glorious, wonderful, saving life through Christ Jesus, given through the Spirit, would be known to us, that we would have the life of Christ in us, and we would live on that. Show us this glorious gospel afresh, we pray. Turn us to Christ and let us live on this wonderful spring of living water. We ask this in your name. Amen. Now let me read a verse to finish. Whoever drinks the water I give them, says Jesus, will never thirst.